Well, welcome to the Repos Knowledge Show. We're here for about the next hour or so tonight, and really pleased to say tonight we're going to have a ref support special, and good friend of mine and good friend of the show and as well, and a legend in the non-league world as well, Mr. Martin Underhay. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you, David. Everything good with me? Everything good with you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. As we were saying off air just a minute ago, was at Waltham Abbey watching them play at the weekend, and they put in a sterling performance and keeping their automatic chances of being promoted into step three alive. So, yeah, it was a cracking little game of football.
Yeah, I had a little trip. I had a little trip to lovely little place actually, Romsey. In the Wessex League, nothing too challenging. I think two teams that decided it was very evident that both teams knew each other, and yeah, so there was that little bit of rivalry there. But as well as it was, I thought it was a very, very good competitive game, and it was certainly one the locals enjoyed. So yeah, that's where I was on Saturday against Alresford Town.
Nice. And we should say Martin Cassidy is hopefully going to join us a bit later on as well from Ref Support UK as well. Hopefully he'll join us shortly. He's running a little bit behind, but hopefully he'll join us very shortly. But Martin, I mean, you've been a player in non-league, you've been a referee as well in non-league as well, and in all sort of levels. I mean, this situation with referees let's start with the sort of negative side of it, I suppose, with the amount of sort of abuse that they seem to get. I mean, do you feel that it's getting better, or do you feel it's getting worse?
I think it's getting worse. I really believe it's getting worse and worse. I had a conversation with Martin 3, 4 years ago. I mean, we speak to Martin a lot, but I remember that even then we were both saying this is the worst we've ever seen it, and that's 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm still saying now that this is the worst I've ever seen it. So does that mean it's declined over the last 4 years? Definitely. Some of the things we're seeing, it's getting worse and worse. We see things on in youth football, for instance, right at the bottom of youth football, and I'm talking under 11s, under 10s. Some of the things we're seeing is just absolutely unacceptable on every single level, and then unfortunately, we've got the position at the other end of the scale where you see referees in the Premier League getting relentlessly barraged, week after week after week, with just abuse online regarding any decisions that they give or don't give, and it's for me, it's getting to a point where I've seen referees flee grounds. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, and it's just a shambles, really, and it's just getting worse. And like when you see these Saturdays Parks games or the Sunday youth leagues, and you see a referee being surrounded by, let's just say, a group of parents, and I'm like, are you sure? Can you understand what you're actually doing here? And these referees, a lot of them are under 18. They're just starting out, because you hear it a lot when somebody on the side says, "Oh, I've passed the refs course." Well, does that make you Paul Durkin then? Does it? You know what I mean? They automatically think that's it. They can referee a game of football, whereas we know that's not the case. So yeah, I'm not happy with the way it's gone. You see relentless barrage. Sorry, well, that's Martin Cassidy on the phone actually.
Yeah, I'm going to send him. He wants me to send him the link. So I'm just going to send that to him as well while we're talking. But yeah, I mean, it just
Got that.
seems. That's
Thanks for it. Sorry, mate.
all right. Yeah, and I think it has got to that stage where you see, young referees and so forth that are just getting, especially, as you said, on park pitches. I mean, I know my daughter used to referee, and I think we had a conversation last week on your My Life in Football chat with me. It was a case of, I've had bottles and stuff thrown at me, and that was sort of, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? And it just doesn't seem to get any better.
No, the reasons I see, obviously the online thing is, there's you're now it's like you're either correct or you're corrupt. that's the out that's how it looks when you see the online abuse that the top referees get. If you're not correct, you're corrupt. There's no middle ground. There's no allowance for a referee to make a mistake anymore. And then the thing is, because they've seen that on Match of the Day, then lower down and at grassroots level, they think it's exactly the same, which it isn't, you know. And but they will act as, let's just say there's a kids game and the referee gets one wrong. Okay, so he can get one wrong in the eyes of a fan. But they will treat that the same as if they were watching a Premier League game. They would shout at a referee exactly as they would in a Premier League game if they were sat in the ground. So that Parks pitch that 16-year-old referee is getting hammered at is exactly the same grief that they would give to a Premier League referee, whoever that might be. You know, and I just think it's extremely unfair, and it's got to a point now for me where it's not enjoyable. It's not, you know, it's become even the Premier League, because there's so much grief for referees, it's all people want to talk about. And it just becomes a less enjoyable game. I've been at kids games, particularly in the last couple of weeks, where the attitude from online in the Premier League or in the professional game seems to transfer for me to it transfers to the kids game on a Sunday, and these kids see it on Match of the Day, they read it on social media. And for instance, I witnessed yesterday a bunch of kids giving a referee who's 17, a bunch of kids who were no older than 14 giving the referee the grief. And then the manager not doing anything about it. And I'm like, what is going on here? So they're now reacting to what they see and hear online or in the professional game. I mean, so this, I just think it's a downward spiral, and somewhere it's got to come to a halt. You know, I've seen Pierluigi Collina came out on what was it, Saturday? And he says that referee abuse now is so bad that it's becoming the biggest cancer in football. That's what he said last week, and he's top of the tree. He's head of IFAB. So yeah, it's getting to a point where it can be dangerous for some referees on a Sunday to referee a game of under 14 football. I do worry for some of the things that happen, and I do worry for some of the officials out there, and this is what Ref Support's there to do. Ref Support is there to help and be there for these referees that get abused, and they're there to help these referees through this. And I think the biggest thing is trying to change attitudes. You know, if we can just change a few attitudes, back in the day, you'd have a game, a referee would, in your eyes, make a mistake, and then you'd hammer the referee in a debate in the pub, then you just move on to the next game. But now I just think that the abuse is there, it gets online, it gets nasty, it's on the pitch, it's in everybody's faces, and then let's just say in the youth league, you've got parents want to question a referee. Well, all those kids that just played in that game are seeing all that. You know, when I see a referee get surrounded by 10 parents because they're not happy that their team's lost for whatever reason, he didn't give a penalty for this whatever reason, all the players are seeing that. All those 13, 14-year-olds are seeing that. So next week, they say how bad last week's referee was, and then they see that behaviour from their parents and think, oh, that's acceptable, we'll go at the referee. And I think that's what I saw yesterday, to be honest.
I mean, let's introduce Martin Caston. Martin, it's great to have you on with us. I'm really pleased that you can come and join us tonight. And of course, for the Referee Support UK, I mean, Martin was just talking there about the abuse referees are getting. And one of the questions I asked Martin was, is it getting better or is it getting worse?
Well, it's miles worse. And you know what? If the FA hadn't done what they'd done recently, it'll probably be even a greater worrying state. But they brought in body cam pilots, they brought in heavier punishments, they brought in points deduction for regular abusers of referees, even though there hasn't seemed to be anyone who's been at the other end of that punishment. But I think for way too long, absolute way too long, there's been two major stakeholders in the game who never, ever, ever stand up, and their members are the two groups of people that cause the most abuse. And that's the PFA, the Professional Football Association, and the LMA, the League Managers Association. It's their members that cause this trouble seen on the TV that then gets replicated when there's children out there on their own. These are the people who sit there week in and week out, metaphorically and physically, on the sidelines and do nothing. Zero about people like José Mourinho, Neil Warnock, Klopp when Klopp is his done, Pep. They just never say anything. Have they got a code of conduct of how they behave, managers? I've not seen it. Have the players got any code of conduct? But when these players aren't getting, the pay rises they want, or they're feeling a little bit tired because they're doing too many games a week, and then they go off abroad to do 10 more at the end of the season, they'll step up and say something then. So I put a lot of the blame in this, and I see it replicated right down the game, on the PFA and the LMA. And so they stand up because the FA have stood up. The PGML have done loads of changes. I don't think it'll change.
No,
I mean, with it as well. I mean, with kids football. I mean, I spoke to Martin in an interview we did, which will come out later in the year. But we were talking and saying that, me and my daughter, we both passed our tests on the same day. She wanted to do something with her dad and wanted to sort of like, enjoy something, and she enjoyed it for a period of time. And one of her games, she had two blokes that were getting sort of a bit, shall we say, a bit leery. And she managed to sort of like move them one into the other, which was a big thing for her, considering that, they're probably three times the size of her. And then a few weeks later, a woman comes up and tries the same thing, and she'd had enough of it then and decided to give it up because the woman starts getting in her face and all the rest of it because of a decision that she didn't disagree with, and ends up giving up football when she had possibly a good career in it, in football, as a referee. And it was just a real shame that, that sort of abuse on a touchline has cost her, maybe going a lot further in the game.
Well, I mean, I think Martin's hit the nail on the head for me. That all the behaviours that go towards these referees, and that's ridiculous that she's had to step away from the game, and all these behaviours, they do come from the managers. You listen to every single manager's interview after a game. Chris Wilder, classic, right? I will call him out. Chris Wilder, classic, right? On Saturday, somebody asked him a question about how the game went. The first words out of his mouth, well, was straight away, was he wants to question decisions, right? Wants to question. So straight away, it's a negative about the referee. And that is the first thing that's portrayed by the fans of that club. It's the referee's fault. And all of a sudden, it's the referee again, okay? And he went on about these decisions. And I haven't seen those decisions, but who cares? I don't care what the decisions were. It's the fact that he's gone in straight away. He hasn't thought about what team did I pick the wrong team? Did I have the wrong tactics during the game? Anything like that? Did I make the correct substitutions during the game? No, it's the referee's fault. And straight away, that's what the fans see, and they're straight in to the referee's fault, because they'll listen to that interview and they'll say, did you listen to Chris Wilder? He was right about that referee. Then all of a sudden we've got negativity about referees, and then you've got the players, like Martin says, you've got the players there. They've got a responsibility. For me, they're professional footballers who get they're up there in these kids' worlds. They're up there. They're their heroes. Okay, and what are they doing? What are they doing? All the time, if they're not shouting at referees, running at referees, they're trying to cheat a referee and con a referee on a football pitch, right? So the first thing they're trying to do, the amount of cheating that goes on the pitch, but It's the referee's fault if he doesn't blow up for the free kick. What free kick? It was a dive, you know. And but it's the ref. It's always the referee's fault. And then it always gets negative towards the referee. So again, commentators, pundits, you look at the fact when, let's just say, a player goes over a little bit easy. We're seeing it more and more now for me. Where do you remember that incident a few years ago when the ball was kicked at Rivaldo and it hit him on the ankle and he went down holding his face, right? That was a meme for years. And now we're getting it week in, week out, where a player is getting tapped, literally tapped, and they go down because they want to get the guy sent off. Okay. Now, if the referee thinks he has been struck and gets a red card, the first thing the pundits do is climb into the ref. They climb into the ref saying, oh, that's embarrassing that he sent him off because he hasn't touched him, la la la. Whereas what should really happen is the player should be absolutely pulled over the coals for cheating in the first place and putting the referee in that position. But no, it's always the referee. So is there a code of conduct? Martin said a minute ago. No, I don't think there is, Martin, is there?
Would you say that it
No, there's
kind
not,
of
and you've only got to look up what happened at the weekends. Sorry, what happened at the weekends with that challenge, the Palace game on the goalkeeper on the player. They were more concerned about the referee not really sending him off than the goalkeeper nearly taking his head off. The
absolutely.
collateral of like this referee needs sacking. This referee, the referee got the decision right in the end. He just didn't do the immediate red like they wanted. So that was the problem. The problem was it's the referee's fault that someone else nearly killed someone by kicking him in the head.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I thought. I saw something on Twitter a minute ago, or an hour or so ago. I looked at it and I'm thinking, you're blaming the referee, because he hasn't because he hasn't sent him off straight away. And you're absolutely right. Let's have a word about the player that's actually gone and virtually took his head off. Because, you know, we're not. And the big thing is the referee. Why? Because it's Michael Oliver, and everybody wants to kick off on Michael Oliver because it's let's kick the hell out of Michael Oliver week. Well, that's unfair. All right. Because they got the right decision. Okay. It went to VAR. So what? If I was Michael Oliver there, yes, the red card could have been out. But in his mind, Martin, you might remember when I sent somebody off a few years ago, I knew it was a red card after 1 minute of the game. I knew it was a red card, but the injury was so bad that I had to go and check the player straight away. It took me 3 minutes to get that red card out because I was checking the player. Well, maybe he was more concerned about the player and then thought, well, VAR's up now. I may as well go and have a look at it. I didn't see exactly what happened with it, but did they get the right decision in the end? Yes. Is that what we want? Yes. What's the conversation about then?
I mean,
Yeah.
just with that decision, the weekend, was any of that down to the fact that he may have sort of, as experienced as he is, down to sort of a lack of confidence in himself because of what happened previously with the Arsenal game and the amount of abuse he got with that game? Did you think that might have been in his mind at any time where he's a little bit, oh, hang on a minute, let's give it to VAR and then, not necessarily make the decision, but let them have a look at it first before I put a red card out, because he was maybe his confidence was shot from the all the abuse and say all the threats that he got and all that through social media.
Right, listen, we're talking about a referee who in the semi-final years ago, the Champions League, Buffon got in his face. There's a very famous photograph of Buffon for Juventus when in his face, right in his face. He carries on doing his game. He carries on succeeding. Carries on developing. So I think there might be an element of truth in the fact that I think the way the game's going, referees are relying more than I think they should on VAR, but it's because of the consequences the leverage people are given against such decisions. And I think there was a lot going on in that decision. If you look at it, the player who got kicked in the head, he actually fouls the defender just before that happens. He pushes the defender, and then the goalkeeper comes in and not justifying anything. All I'm saying is there's a lot going on in that decision. So I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Oliver's saying, "What was the foul first?" Was that? I wouldn't be surprised. Even now, I don't even know if he started play if it was a defensive free kick or an attacking free kick. I'll have to look at it. But there's a lot going on in that challenge, and no one ever. All these armchair referees all sit there watching the telly. I haven't got all the nuances of what's going on in the game. I haven't got the pressure of the game. See something and go. he's wrong and I'm going to give them abuse. Such an extent that there was one lad I took to task on our Twitter account where he was giving him loads, called him up, CUNC and everything else. Should be just loads of horrible stuff. On this lad's handle, it had mental health ambassador. Mental health ambassador. So this is the sort of utter bollocks that goes on in football. These narrow-minded, shallow, entitled people, they just see something, spit it. But in the background, they're pretending to be a mental health ambassador, or they're pretending to be, when all that was going on with the PFA and they put on enough is enough, enough is enough, all about the abuse, the racial abuse that the players are getting. Absolutely right. Absolutely back it. Weeks later, they're naming referees by the name, saying they're a disgrace. But their mental health is not enough for them. It's this disingenuous that's going on through football. The desensitization of referee abuse, it's been going on for decades. What's happening is it's getting worse. The FA in the past missed many opportunities to address this robustly by forcing the PFA and the LMA to discuss it. The beginning of last season, they had this charter, didn't they? Behaviour charter. But that's not worth anything. And that had the LMA, the PFA, the Premier League, the PGMA, all on it. Nothing, literally nothing. It's supposed to be like a Magna Carta of solving a problem out. And I'll say it until it changes, that they sit there in the background and they do nothing. LMA and the PFA. And then people mimic what they do. How do you think kids who are six now are scoring a goal in Bristol Downs and they're running away kissing a wedding ring? 6, 7 year olds. Where do they see that? Where do they learn about Ronaldo goal celebration? Where do they learn it? The Marans aren't ever told them it. They see it on the telly. So when they reflect these behaviours, only an idiot would say they don't behave that from what they see from Neil Warnock, what they see from people like that. Only an idiot would challenge that. To such an extent that a Premier League referee actually said on an exchange that it was nonsense. It was a learned behaviour. He wasn't a Premier League referee at the time, but he is now. And he was up, no chance, no chance, not having it, not having it. It was all not having it. Now he's back in the Premier League. I think he's a bit different now. And this is the stuff that goes on. People will fit the narrative of referee abuse, but what fits their own agenda? And my agenda is charity. People laughed at me when we started up a referee charity. It'd be like having a charity for traffic wardens. You know what I mean? We're not exactly the most popular person involved in football. But when I started going forward, and the strategy was to get it discussed, to try and get referee abuse discussed at the highest echelons of football, the highest echelons of the media. And that's what we did. Nobody else was doing what Ref Support were doing. Nobody else was putting videos out saying, this is out of order, that player this. No one else was going, the FA aren't doing enough. It took me 7 years of throwing stones at Wembley Stadium to the gates to open and me to have a conversation about changing the game. It took two people moving away from the referees departments because they just didn't want body cams. They didn't want things to change because that reflects on them. And these same people that were in the place going off on tangents a bit was that, like, we had a woman, Wendy Toms, on the Premier League as an assistant referee, doing top flight finals, the Milk Cup, it was them. And then we never had another one until we got Sian Massey on. Sam Allison just got on now. As a referee from underrepresented groups, he's not white, But we had Uriah Rennie back at the same time. We had Wendy Toms in those 30 years. Why did that not happen? Why did that not happen? And it's because there was too many people who made unilateral decisions within the FA that were made decisions for the overall organisation. That was the problem. The referees recognised that when we met Mark Bullingham. Actually, no, it was the one before that. It was the chief exec before Mark Bullingham. What was his name? Can't remember his name. We met him. I think he's with the Football Foundation. We met him and he said, We agree. The FA for too long have always looked inwards. They've never looked out. And that's when things started to change. That's when people started paying attention to us. That's when medias were coming to us saying, look, come on TalkSport, come on Sky Sports, because we actually understand what you're trying to do. Before then, it was just tucked away. Don't say anything. And now, thank God that the FA and the referees departments have completely switched. That I genuinely believe, for the first time in decades, absolute decades, they have got the interest of the referee at heart, not the interest of what they want to achieve as an individual. So that I'll always round it that way.
Because we were saying as well, I mean, I remember going to But it just puts into a sort of concept a bit what you're saying about lady referees and abuse as well. I mean, we went to just happened to go and watch a game at Brighton & Hove Albion, and we went to see them, and they were playing Romford, and it just happened to be that if Brighton & Hove Albion won the game, they would end up winning the league that they were in, the Isthmian North that they were in at the time at Step Four, and we went down there to watch this, and there's this lady referee refereeing the game, and she controlled this game probably up to that period of time probably the best I've ever seen. I mean, she had full control of the game. You know, none of these blokes got in her face, nothing like this sort of stuff like you normally see with a non-league stuff if someone makes a decision you don't agree with. Great game. Brighton & Hove won the game. They won the league that day, and she came back out of the dressing room just to sort of see the trophy celebration and et cetera, et cetera. And I walked up to her to go and sort of shake her by the hand and say what a fantastic game she had. And I was saying to Martin the other day, you know, she started backing away and tried to get out of the way because she automatically thought that, you know, no disrespect, she was going to get a clump because someone was, a male was walking towards her, et cetera, et cetera. And she got so much praise that day. I mean, she's now a UEFA referee. She's now, so I think she's just got into League Two and running the line at League Two, a lady called Abby Byrne. And she's reffing all the time. I think she reffed the ladies' FA Cup final. And she does often does. I think she was fourth official for the Arsenal West Ham game yesterday. And has gone on to have a fantastic career. But it was just so sad to see that her first thought was not somebody was going to come and congratulate her, that someone was going to come and give her a barrel of abuse and maybe sort of like say something to her or physically harm her, because that's what came into her mind straight away.
Yeah, I mean it is a shambles really that we're at the point where that is the first thing in their mind. But you know, I think as Martin knows, we've seen it on many occasions where even if you've had a really good game, you know, the first you've had a really good game, there will be people out there that will want to come and take you on. And on those parks and on those pitches at grassroots level where the referee's on his own a lot of the time. I've seen grown men. I'll never forget seeing a guy. He looked like an American wrestler. He was about 6 foot 6. He was massive, and he went in so hard on this female official. I reckon she was 16 at the most, and at the end of the game, and you know, I just went in and said, "Right, you need to go away, mate. Off you go. I'm with the FA. I'm going to put you on report." Basically, I just told a load of rubbish, like, you know, and I took this girl out of the way, and her parents were over the far side. But I'm just thinking, you know, did I ever see her refereeing again? No, I didn't. Did she walk away? Probably. Does she need a 6 foot 6 guy in her face? No. And that's where we are. No matter what happens, people will take the referee on. They don't sit. They don't think, hang on a minute, I'm a 35-year-old, skin-headed, 6 foot 6 inch bloke about to give it loads to a 16-year-old girl. You know what I mean? It's just absolutely unacceptable. And I've got all the, you know, just when I see referees, like female referees, to be honest, I've run the line for female referees, a few in particular, Kirsty Dow, for instance. And so much respect because they're in a man's world. It has been a man's world in the last, well, 50 years. It's been a man's world in that game, and they've come through that, battled through everything and all those problems that they've had. And you see somebody like Kirsty who's going in and absolutely doing an unbelievable job. And I remember thinking when I lined to her, well, without question, she's the best referee that I've lined to all season, hands down. You know, and I remember thinking that. But we've all had to go through these issues and all the abuse that comes with it. And we are an unpopular job. You know, we're not the most popular people, but we're there to make decisions, whether they're popular decisions or not. You know, we're there because we love the game. And it's like Martin said, with, you know, people are desensitized to referees. The mental health of there's there for mental health of players, mental health of these people and mental health of those people. But it seems to me that football fans, managers, players, as far as they're concerned, the referees are fair game. They're there to take the abuse. Well, no, absolutely not. And they shouldn't have to take the abuse, and the abuse needs to stop. And what Martin's been doing for all these years now, I can only applaud it, because as Martin said, when he first started, people were against it. There was no doubt people were against what Martin was doing. And then all of a sudden, they saw what he was actually doing. And he wanted to change attitudes, wanted to change the game. And now people have got on board with it. I can only applaud it, because everybody knows Martin's out there now. And you are being watched, you know? Even to the point where I'll go to a game, it's amazing what happens when I walk, and it's ridiculous, but when I walk to a youth team game and I just stand there, it's amazing how people behave, because they know who I am. And all I am is a referee, but they know that I will call them out and I will report them, and I won't care, you know, if I see any abuse. So what Martin does, I think, is an amazing job. And I've got so much respect for what he does and what is needed going forward.
So, Martin, what is needed going forward?
Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that, Mark. Kind words. I think it's there's a lot more than appears. I think people don't understand that for years and years and years, like Mark just said, they've just created this thing that the referee's fair game. I've never known anything like it in any. Mark would say this, and we would laugh about it. I'm born and bred in one of the roughest council estates in Europe at the time, in Anfield, Liverpool. I live down south now. And I got into refereeing quite late. And I was a reprobate. I was a dad at 15. I was like, everything that you could go wrong. Ended up taking up refereeing when I got injured. I never got threatened once. I'm only 5'6". Never got threatened once. Because I knew what to say, and I knew because I had a bit of a thicker skin, and you sort of build bridges. And sometimes the bridges are quite easy to build. As I got to the later end of it, the bridges were very difficult to bring. Just no matter what you say, it was you can't say that to me. You can't talk to me like that. Whereas when I first started, I was saying, "Do us a favor, mate, shut up." If this was in a pub over a game of pool, you would not say that to me. I promise you, you would not say that to me. Oh, fair play, ref, fair play. Oh, now they go, "What you threatening me? I'm going to report you." And it's this sort of like entitlement that's just become ingrained in the game. That's been passed down to the next generation. They're coming up. That referee is fair game. I don't care if it's a 14-year-old girl or a 76-year-old bloke. That is fair game. That's what needs to change. And a good example of it was down Mart's way. There was an incident at an under-18s game where there's a bit of shenanigans after the game. The ref went over to get his line-up flags, said something that they didn't like. He gets chased across the pitch. This is on TalkSport. I went on TalkSport about this. Gets chased across the pitch by a parent. All the lads who were recording it, kids, and they're all laughing their heads off. To me, that was a bit of a watershed to thinking, am I literally making an impact or not? But then I look around what happens at IFAB, the lawmakers of the game this week, now say that they're going to allow body cameras on FIFA games. They're thinking of body cams on top flight games all over the country. When I started my body cam campaign 6 years ago, I wrote to the FA, and the same people I mentioned earlier, they just replied back to me, two individuals, and said, "The FA has not got an appetite." I've still got this email in writing. "I've not got an appetite for body cams. We don't believe they'll have any influence on it. None whatsoever." Now, I'm delighted to see that's gone right to the top. No one was talking about body cams. No one was talking about anything, because what people missed on the body cam I was framed in the beginning, because it was me talking about it, they thought I was trying to address referee abuse. Body cams deter all forms of abuse. Racism, homophobic, anti-Semitism, referee abuse, all forms. That's what it deters. It makes the whole game better. But people think because referees are doing a body cam, we're only worried about calling a referee a twat or whatever. And it's not. It's about the whole game coming together. Then it helps referees get better because they can, a great mentor like Mart could watch the footage afterwards and say, "Listen, that lad's reacted to that because you pissed them off. You said something this way, or look where your position is. Maybe if you're on a bit left, or that I can't see." And then it's an evidence collector. I could never, ever, ever see anything wrong with body cams to an extent that I put a We put nearly £20,000 into an app that turns your phone into a body cam. We actually went that far. We made straps. I've still got the straps where you use your own phone as a body cam, put it on selfie video. I did trials with various places where they just said, "Oh my God, it's unbelievable." We even put a picture of a phone, an iPhone in it. It's like a placebo effect. Totally changed the game. People were saying, "Tell you what, if you never thought on, I wasn't give you loads there." I knew years ago this would work. And it was only when those people left, Danny Meeson and people at the FA, Ross Joyce at the FA took it forward, have been absolute world changers in this, the FA. I'm in their corner now because they never listened for years. And now they open the door, now they're listening, and you can see what we're trying to do. The game will change in a shorter length of time than it would without body cams. The only problem with body cams is people are worried about safeguarding, people are worried about this, but they don't worry about children when on match of the day. Or on a live TV game, the camera pans to the crowd and there's kids there. They don't seem to worry about safeguarding then. That's live on TV. They don't know if those kids are in any form of care. They don't know if they're vulnerable children. They don't. That's okay. Well, no, try to protect a kid getting his head kicked in. But it becomes a safeguarding issue for some reason. So all these sorts of nuances need to be ironed out because it's when it's convenient to throw in a safeguarding, which I'm a designated safeguarding lead for our business. Very important. I'm not going to go against it. But when it fits a narrative to stop doing something, they throw it in. And I just think what needs to be changed is what's happening now. People are talking about it openly. People are talking about it. People like Emery Winter from The Times is retweeting my tweet saying, "You're right. I agree with you." People from The Telegraph, Sam Wallace comes on podcasts and says, "I agree with you." Puts out tweets, "I agree with you." These top flight journalists are now going, actually, maybe I shouldn't put out a tweet that six tweets later ends up with a death threat to Michael Oliver and his family because I've become an instigator. Then you have absolute idiots like Keith Hackett, people listening to him purely because he says, or he was, the previous boss of the PGMOL. This makes him this almighty, all-seeing God. When he talks about referees and absolutely batters them, fat shames John Moss. Releases information about referees retiring before they have. He's no referees, man. People are listening to him. So what when he sees something on the TV, he goes at the he'll batter that referee, batter him, and he'll throw it all in this guy's. Well, I was an ex-PGMO boss. He's become a Trojan horse of referee abuse for referees under disguise as a referees man. When people stop listening to people like him, the good people in the game. Will have a stronger voice and it will get better. And I've got every belief in that because the squeakiest wheel always gets the oil. It's the thing I used for a long time. Made lots of noise, kept going, and people go, "Bloody hell, listen to him." What's happened with Hackett is he's using his position from God knows how many years ago. I mean, the last time he was involved in Premier League football, it's probably black and white. But because he closed that narrative of PGMOL ex-boss, people listen to him. When people start to realize what a fraud he is. And stop listening to those sorts of people there who just seem to be weaponizing a referee's decision to cause a referee abuse. That's when the game will get better.
I mean, do you with your sort of ref support side of it as well? Do you get a lot of sort of maybe parents contacting you about their kid being a referee and what's happened to them? And do you get sort of like some of the more sort of adult referees actually sort of contacting you and looking to you for sort of some kind of an answer
Daily,
for them?
daily, daily. Just before I come in here, I dealt with a lad who, a journalist, has gone on. One of these local journalists down south has gone on, named the referee even before the game starts. "Oh my God, we got him today. He's going to ruin the game." Just the fourth time this lad, this so-called journalist, has gone after the same referee. And then prior to that, he went after another referee who's now, funny enough, he was saying he was crap. He was now on the Football League as a linesman. So obviously this idiot has not got a clue. He did the same with that referee until he moved away out of that area. So this is today. This is today. This is now. This is a man. Weekends, eight calls or messages about what happened. Got beat up. I'm in the hospital. I'm in the police station. Get mothers. We've got two. She got two ambassadors who were youth ambassadors, one in the north, one in the south. Both of them are women. Both of them came to me years ago because their children were threatened and verbally abused. Their children, one was a girl, one was a boy. This is what's happening. Like Mark said, people were. But looking at me, because I was like not anti-FA, I was anti-people stopping the development of referees and the support of referees. But these people who had the influence, they were clearly not happy with me. So they were saying to referees, don't help Martin Casty get his coaching scheme going or his mentor scheme going to, because so and so doesn't like him. And he's the one that can get you promoters, and he's the one that can give you a cup final. So they listened to him, even though they believed in me. The amount of people that would send me messages, influencers in the game, that don't say you got this from me, and I'll get it out in the media, and things changed. That's what went on. Now people are front house. Martin is a good example of it. Is that like people just weren't really comfortable with sticking the flag in my sand because they knew people who could ruin their career didn't like what I was doing. Then when I got an investigation into racism, I wrote to the FA with some evidence. They spent a couple of hundred thousand pounds investigating the referees department for covering up racism. Then people started realizing that people are starting to listen to me. People are starting to listen, which is why I said earlier about that 20-year gap. No people of color coming through the game. All of a sudden they've gone. What's happening? We've got female coming through. We've got people of color coming in. I don't like that term. It's the only term I can use. South Asians, all coming through. But no one's asked that question. What did we learn from those 20 odd years when we had Wendy Toms at the top flight? 10 years before Bibiana Steinhaus got anywhere near starting on the Bundesliga, we were there. We were there, Uriah Rennie. We were there, Wendy Toms. No one's ever reflected and gone, well, why did we not build on that? And then only when these individuals who were running the show went, all of a sudden, it all started happening again. And there's the answers. We must learn from what happened in those 20 years to protect all referees. All referees, no what color, race, creeds, doesn't matter. Any protected characteristic should now be supported fully. And it hasn't been for many, many years. So personally, I'm really hopeful that the game will change from the governing body side of things. I really believe that that's happening. And I really believe in what they and the PGMOL are doing. I really do. Or the influencers in the game, like I said previously, who aren't standing up, who are stakeholders in the game. And there's others are just out there to cause trouble. As soon as you see Mark Halsey, even though I do actually like Mark Halsey and race him, as soon as he goes in, goes on, he goes in, very rarely goes in there, celebrates a referee's decision. But if there's a if you can weaponize it, getting it wrong, he does it, and he goes to all the papers in the world. He goes to the Sun of all the papers in the world, and then you get Packer doing this stuff. These have been there for a long while, making things, in my opinion, worse. So they're the ones where I target now. I should target the effort. Keith Ackett said there was a game should be replayed. Can't remember what game it was. This should be reclaimed. The referee on that penalty decision was completely wrong. And it wasn't the penalty. The referee was correct in law. And so there's people listening to him, and he doesn't even know what the basic law is of football. So that's the bit that needs to change now. And I think, please, everyone that listens to this with regards to refereeing, get off the FA's back. They've stepped up. Start going for narrative for that blue net who's next to you, shouting abuse at a young lino who wants to come through. The idiot next to him who's, throwing beer over linos, spitting at linos, all these things happen, calling all the names under the sun, and you sit there. The good people sit there and do nothing. I think when they have a bit more courage to stand up, but in this today's society, that's going to be difficult. The way crime is and knife crime and everything. So I think a lot of the good people need to have a bit of a louder voice, and that's what I'm hopeful.
I mean, it's so important that if they can get that voice and portray it in the right way, attitudes might actually change because attitudes now are at their worst. I think we've said that we've touched on that earlier, and if they can just realize what is actually going on here, what actually goes on with these games, and we can if they can sort of like turn it into something different that doesn't just put everything on the referee, then maybe, just maybe, that the attitude of fans can change. Because I've got to be honest, last time I was at Old Trafford, which was, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks
When they
ago.
were good, or even further back.
No. I've seen gone as many matches this year, mate. It's a tough watch. Let's put it like that. You can sit there and smile, Mr. Cassidy. No, I
Well, let's keep jumping out of the United Kingdom.
He knows we're on opposite sides of the M6. Anyway, That aside, yeah. So the last time I was at Old Trafford, the referee's not given a penalty that the guys behind wanted. All right, and the abuse was incredible. But what was good to see was a lot of Man United fans around that area actually said, "Mate, can you shut up? Because you're making yourself look stupid. It's never been one." And it wasn't one or two. There was about 20 because of the way and the level of his of abuse that he was given, and he wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't shut up. And there was about 50 Man United fans around him just trying to shut the bloke up because it was just so obvious. And I just thought, well, that's refreshing. Do you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it is. I'm absolutely made up to hear that, and I think we do need more people to be able to have the courage to stand up, particularly on sidelines. And I know it's difficult, and I absolutely know it's difficult. But this is why I think the body cam pilots is important, because I went down the route of having it for respect marshals. So when you had a respect badge and we could put your phone in there, there was no law change necessary for that, because that was off the field of play. A bit like they got away with having VO. Same principle. I was saying, well, let's put a respect marshal on every game at the sidelines. One from each team. Have a strap, stick your phone in it. I got 800 made in China. You can have 800 free. It cost me $1.85. Put your phone on, just walk like that. We'll stop it. We'll stop it. Because the FA can't control the participants who don't sign up to the FA. They've got no jurisdiction over it. But if someone was walking around with a body cam on it, he can't escape. And if you're on private lands, there's nothing they can do about it. That goes on social media. What's people change? The amount of times people have stuck stuff on social media and I've gone after them and they've come back to me and they've apologized. And I said, no, apologize. Actually apologize on the tweet. Apologize there. And the amount of that, and then I say, fair play to you. The more people who realize the mistakes, the game will get better. Happens all the time. And what Matt's touching on is that a lot of people send me messages and say, please don't get this from me. Or you'll see something on Twitter and just post me in and say, hey, refs won't like this. So you're getting these people out there who I don't even know, never even met, know what we're trying to do. And then they're putting these things in. There's so many Twitter accounts that used to be anti-referee that since we went after them, they're not like that anymore. They're not like that anymore. I can name it.
I mean, one of the things as well, I mean, we did, gentleman used to do this show with me previously before. He always used to be somebody that people would wait for him to, have a moan about the referee and this sort of stuff. And it became a bit of a joke when, it early part of the thing. And then eventually he got to the same situation as you do, as you've just said there, where he sort of went completely 360 and decided, and was supporting the referees and stuff. And he actually came up with ideas for like the sort of non-league sort of officials. And he was saying basically he felt that there should be, why is it that we see that there's training for managers, training for this, training for that, but you never see like the training bit put on by the leagues or the FA for that different areas for the officials. And why is it that, official A, B and C don't stick together on a constant basis where, they stick as a team and move around to the different grounds and stuff. And he was then asked to explain his thoughts and stuff to the FA and all the rest of it. And he actually had a complete synopsis that he actually sent off to the FA where they wanted to talk to him about it. They had a little chat with him and that was basically about it, in the end. But it was just saying what you were saying, how someone's attitude completely changed around referees through listening and through watching and seeing what was going on, that his whole attitude changed. But do you feel as well that VAR has worsened the ref abuse, or has it made it better?
Well, I actually said that VAR, the only VAR I'm interested in is violence against referees. When people start concentrating on violence against referees, the game will become better. But VAR has just become another tool in the toolbox of abuse. It's just another one. I say it all the time. When someone misses a penalty, they don't give them loads. If a referee misses a penalty, they give them loads. They absolutely give them. And then now they're saying, oh yeah, but he's got VAR to look at it three times for five angles. Well, there's only one league in the whole of this country that's got VAR. So you're telling me that's the only place that referee abuse is? No, it's not. So it's just another tool to beat them up. Up where, and then they'll have an angle from behind a goal, where the bigger van would have a better view than a ref would. But they don't look on. This will be body cams would be really important because they'll see where the ref is. And why you give that decision? Sorry, Matt.
No, absolutely. I'm listening to what you're saying, Martin. It's absolutely right. And what you're saying, right, every weekend in the Premier League, we have, what was it, 10 matches, okay? 10 matches. The 10 matches have VAR. So every weekend in this country, there's 1,520 matches. 10 have got VAR. Yeah, because of VAR, as Martin says, it's a tool to bash the referee and the other 1,510 matches. So let's just, we need to look at that. People just want, if a referee makes a decision and he has to use VAR, right? So people are asking, well, he's got that wrong then because he didn't see it. And it's just another way to have a go at the referee. He's given a yellow card. The one at Bournemouth earlier on this season, where the referee gave a yellow card, I think it was Rob Jones, and then they said, no, you need to go and look at this. Oh no, that's actually fair play. Yeah, I've watched that again. I've watched that from this angle, watched that from that angle. It's a red card, let's go and give a red card. Well, in the 1,510 games without VAR, that doesn't get switched around. So then the abuse comes. Simple as that.
I know, and if you remember, but people, this is, and no matter what I say, they say, "Oh, you're just defending the referee." When VAR started, they weren't allowed to go over to the screen. It took two and a bit seasons. First time it happened was in the FA Cup because the FA were getting grief from the protocols to go over the screen. It happened in an FA Cup that the FA decided it, and then the PGM started moving towards it. We never had nothing like that. It's developed. Then we said the referees need to come out and explain the decisions. The PGML needs to come out. They bring in might up. They release VAR conversations. It's still not enough. It's still not enough. So they just look at now, they don't see how far. I actually think VAR has developed into something that's a bit more conducive to a game than it did when it first started. But it still has got an awful long way to go, which proves how difficult it is. And that countries are still going, oh, no, I don't want it. But I just think the thing that will change it, 100% change it, is that they need to have the headsets that the referees wear at all levels, so National League and above, them to be able to listen to live. When they see that what the players say to referees and watch a change, the PGM, well, I understand, but I'm no font of knowledge. We're keen to have those conversations that every referee has on the head mic because they're recorded, published live. And the players voted against it. The clubs voted against it. Now, why is that? Why would that be? When the referees say, because when I've been this person, because we've been managing foul and abusive language for ages, because the game's so important to keep 11 people on, it's now they've gone the extra mile. They let them call the odd swear words, then which some people do. You have accountants who are referees, and you have bricklayers or plasterers like Matt, or builders like I used to be. Who's got a thicker skin than an accountant has? You might not hear those words in his office 9 to 5, but we hear it every day. So we're a bit more thick-skinned to it. No one takes that in consideration. Nobody takes that in consideration. So there's those nuances in it where if you were publishing live those conversations that are going on from the kickoff with the referees' headsets, watch the behaviour change.
So what would you say to a young person that's sort of just about to start up in this world of refereeing? What would your advice be to them? Because of course they would start at youth football and then move their way through into sort of non-league football. They haven't got the option then of maybe having sort of headsets or anything like that. So how would you sort of what would be your recommendation at that sort of level? And what would be your sort of like conversation to these new people coming through?
I'd personally, if you're asking me that question, excuse me, I would like to say that it's a far there's the highs outweigh the lows. I think Martin would agree. The highs do outweigh the lows, and there are so many opportunities now for so many people from every background when it comes to refereeing. There's it's. They call it we call it like a referee's family, really. And going back to my own thing, I hated the fact that I got too old to play football. Hated it. So what can I do to stay on the football pitch? I decided to go refereeing through one one thing and another, I decided to do that. And it's given me so many fantastic moments in my footballing career, so many fantastic people that I've met. I only knew Martin before as a referee, for instance, when I was playing, you know, and me and Martin have become friends over the years. The first time I met him, he sent me off, correctly so, you know, and correctly so because of my poor behaviour, and he was absolutely 100% correct. But
And it was
we've
quite funny that actually, because I showed you the report, and I've still got the
oh
report.
my God.
And he said to me, "Give me loads, give me loads." It was dead funny, really. And then he goes to me, "You only sent me off because I'm a Man United fan." And I says, "How much do I know you're a Man United fan? You know
Oh,
you." So yeah. But boys, listen, I've really got to go. So I've got another Zoom call. I'm late, but I'm going to go. But I'd like to top it off on this. Martin's spot on. Refereeing changed my life. Changed my life. I've been all over the world. I still travel all over the world now with refereeing stuff. I never dreamt I'd end up being on TalkSport Sky and have conversations with some of my heroes that I've met in my life. All that's through refereeing. Martin's right. The many highs do outweigh the low. The difference what's happened now is you've got more support. More support now from the FA, you know, county FAs, and getting this referee. And I would not for a moment, if I was back being 18, I never started till I was a lot older than that, I'd get into refereeing now. Because the mechanisms are there. You've got people like Martin who's happy to stand up. You've got people like us who are happy to stand up, get you out on the fresh air, injure a few bob. And there's nothing wrong with refereeing for money. Nothing wrong with it. Because if you do that, you'll end up loving it even more and you get into it and you grow more. So from my point of view, I can just top off my bit of this. Is that get into refereeing? But if you feel you're getting the stick, you're feeling down, you're feeling hurt, you're feeling abused, reach out because there's people there who will help you. And people like us who we're 24/7, you can phone us at 11 o'clock, it gets transferred to my mobile phone. 10 o'clock on a Saturday, Sunday, I'm answering phone calls from people who just need a little bit of advice, a little bit of support to say, it's not your fault, no matter what they said. They shouldn't have slapped you, they shouldn't have done this to you, they shouldn't have damaged your car, they shouldn't have hurt you. Reach out, and you know, you've got a lot of people out there that will help you.
Mike, just one quick question. Where do they reach out to?
So, if you go on Ref Support UK, which is obviously www.refsupport.co.uk, come to us on our Twitter account. We've got more followers on Twitter than the FA's own referees account. We're a really, really popular Twitter account, which is just at Ref Support UK. Reach out to us. We're happy to help clubs. I've helped clubs where referees might have been a little bit out of order, and we've looked at reports and we've helped them because we know not all referees are perfect. We all know that surprisingly they're human. And just reach out to us. So we've got a hotline, which is 033 300 1966, and that's open 24/7, 365 days a year. And it's confidential. You don't even have to tell us what your name is, but we're there to help you.
Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you tonight. It really has. It's been a real, absolutely enjoy the last hour, and please carry on with your fantastic work because you're doing a great job.
Thanks, man. It's great to have supporters like Mart, very experienced that player, quality referee. So thank you all for helping us along the journey.
No,
No
thanks,
problem.
Mike. Thanks for those words,
Thanks,
mate.
Mike.
See you soon.
Cheers, boys.
See you later. So, Martin, I mean, you were saying, I mean, it is difficult for these youngsters, isn't it? You know, just sort of coming through and trying to sort of trying to come through the ranks, and you know, it must be difficult as well for. You know, especially if they're younger ones as well, to sort of like parents see what abuse these people get online, referees get online, et cetera, and it must be difficult for the parent to then allow, you know, their child, you know, their daughter or their son to go out and start a job as such that they could get barrels and barrels of abuse for.
Yeah, it is difficult. Make no mistake. I've had many phone calls with the parents of children that want to start under 16s that want to start refereeing, or just themselves, even the parents wanting a little bit of support on the side of the pitch because it is so nerve-wracking to watch their children get into these situations. I mean, I've had it myself with my own son. You know, my son's 20 now. He's been refereeing since he was 14. And just to, you know, just to give you some sort of idea, he did a Dorset Cup final. Okay, so a Dorset Cup final at the age of 14 years old. He did an under 11 cup final. Okay, so he refereed that under 11 cup final. Well, lo and behold, of course, there was more people watching that game than there was any other age group, because you've got the mum, the dad, the grandparents, the siblings, the dog, the cat, the fish, they're all there. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's there. There must have been 300 people watching that game. And I was like, can you imagine what that was like for me? And I'm a seasoned referee at non-league level and throughout the professional game, in under 21s and stuff like that. But to see your child out there, nerve-wracking, is that didn't cover it, you know? So this is what Martin's there for to support everybody within that. But the main thing is, don't, if you're a child and you're an under 16 and you think you want to get into refereeing, don't think there's nobody there for you now, because there is massive support now from the county FAs and people like myself. You know, there's loads of people like myself that will go there and help you, and they're at the other end of a phone if that's what you need, or if you want a little bit of advice. And then I don't want to tar every club with the same brush, every support with the same brush, because that's not fair either. Because there are clubs out there that do support referees, and there are clubs out there that do, you know, they see the youngsters coming through and they want to help. And there are parents there that, you know, that not all parents are bad on the side of a football pitch. Yes, you see it sometimes on videos where it's all kicked off in a youth team game, but that's, you know, that's not, I would say that's not 100% of games. That's probably, I would say, 20 is quite high. 20% of games you see quite a lot of abuse, but that's 1 out of 5. So there are good parts to it. There are people that want to help. There are always people that want to help. And to be honest, my son, who's now 20, still doing it, moving up the ladder, doing well, and just stick with it. And absolutely, if you get abused, do not just take it. Report it to your county FA. We make sure your parents report it to your county FA, and also go and get in contact with people like Martin Cassidy, because believe you me, he is massive on it, and he will 100% help. But it is a fantastic thing to do, refereeing. It has changed me as a person as well. It really, really has. It's been a massive love of my life, football. Everybody knows that, who knows me. And to be perfectly honest, as a referee, I've loved every single second of it. I wouldn't change anything that I've done. And would I say to get into it? Yes, 100% get into it. If you're a football lover and you're not on that pitch because football, you're not very good at it, or it may not be your game, you might just be a really good referee. Who knows? Get yourself signed up and get yourself a course.
Well, what a great way to finish. It's been a fantastic hour and a little bit tonight, and really thoroughly enjoyed our ref support special tonight. A massive thank you to Martin, and of course to Martin Cassidy as well. Massive thank you for everybody for watching as well. We'll be back with a Repost Knowledge Show in 2 weeks' time. I've got a little Christmas gift that I've been given, and I'm going to see it, Mr. Jeff Sterling, next week. So we're off to see him next weekend. So that'd be quite fun. And then, as I say, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a Repost Unleashed show. But from me, from mine, and of course from mine as well, thank you for watching, and good night.